it's just not the right thing to witness man kill man for no good reason and sit back and do nothing. And you have the power to do something about it. You have the power to do something about it, so do something. Should you or should you not? So this is a very big dilemma. It is very interesting that in the second parish we learned in the Malbum, that really was the first parish, we learned in the Malbum, when it says here, v'lezochar bris achim, it's explaining exactly this, that there is a bris, a covenant between Yaakov and Esav. Esav is not permitted to cause harm to Yaakov. And now Yaakov is suffering. Yaakov needs help. And Tsar is taken to task, why didn't you do something? Even though you have absolutely nothing to gain, there's no financial gain in intervening, still, to witness man kill man is not something that should be tolerated in this world, and you have a moral obligation, especially when people are begging you for their assistance, and you sit back and do nothing. And to that, they're being taken to task in this pasuk. Al shloisha pishei tsar, I'll forgive you, but the al arba o lo yashivenu, for the fact that you were indifferent to the witness of man and killing another man, that there's a bris achim, a covenant between two nations that you have nothing to do with, and you sit back and do nothing, you are held accountable. If you learn according to the first interpretation, then this, that's not the conclusion. The first interpretation is the bris achim was a covenant between who? Between Klal Yisrael and Tsar themselves. Shlomo HaMelech had a covenant with Hiram that they would be good to each other. That if that's going to be the pshat in the pasuk, then there is no lesson to teach you that you're held accountable if one nation kills another nation that you have nothing to do with.
Did they have a covenant to have a defense treaty to help each other?
No, they didn't. It depends on the pshat in the pasuk.
I'm talking the first pshat.
No, it seems not. It seems as they have nothing to do with one another. Zero. That's what you derive from the second interpretation. The Beris Achim is Yaakov and Esav. So why here is Hashem punishing Tsar? Because you know that there is a Beris. You know they're not supposed to harm one another. And you're witnessing Chorban. Help! Intervene! You have the power to do so. Don't sit back and do nothing. You have a moral obligation to assist another country that is in a state of distress. And if you're not going to do, Hashem is saying, I'm going to punish you. It's not one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. But yet, that's what you're here for in this world. If someone suffers, don't just...
That's American isolationist.
It's what? What does that mean? To do nothing?
Do
nothing. So that's wrong. Well,
isolation.
I mean, you can play with the pasuk many ways. According to the interpretation that it means Edom and Yisrael, then there's a message. If you learn the other interpretation that the bris is between Yisrael and Tsar, then there is no message. Then you're right. Then maybe you are allowed to have an isolationist policy. Leave me alone. It's none of my business. Why should I get involved? Why should we spend our money on what's going on? It's their problem. And again, these are their standards. What about Klal Yisrael? What are our obligations?
That's an interesting question. Did we have a moral obligation if they were under attack?
Do exactly right. Exactly. What would be? Well, we know that we have a higher standard, and everything that, you know, we're held to a higher standard. Like you see today that whenever Rachmana Litzlan is a disaster, even in Iran. What do you hear on the news? Who's the first one to say, we're coming to help you? Israel. I know those cynical people will say they're coming to help because with the team that's coming to help, embedded are spies.
It's making the offer.
Making the offer. Okay, anyway, reject us. But not all the time. Sometimes they allow the Israelis to come in and they have all the technology and they have all the best expertise in dealing with these things. You see, it's a very big Kiddush Hashem. That will put aside our differences with you, and we're willing to help.
They do it in Syria. They help yourself.
Right. So
which is both a humanitarian and a strategic.
Strategic. Oh, so you're cynical already.
Not cynical. I'm real.
You're a realist. Okay, always looking
because
for.
They always have to battle against an image of being, horrible monsters who persecute the Arabs. So they show. They want to show their humanitarian side. So
okay.
That's in the equation.
Okay, it's true. Okay, now let's go into the Mamar Chazal on the bottom pasuk test. V'lo zochu v'risachim Rabbi Shimon Omer al misaprei lashon hara migoyim boim olav. Okay, he's coming to deviate. Hashem aleichem. Over here, we're mentioning over here al lashon al misaprei lashon hara migoyim boim olav. We're discussing our new theme, the theme of lashon hara. Shekain matzinu bi'aroin u'miriam shesibu lashon hara b'moshe ba'aleim es ha'peronis. We're going off the beaten track here onto a tangent. That for the chait of lashon hara, rachmana litzlan, a person can suffer the plague of tzaras. B'yoysa shah, hischil aroin mufayis l'moshe. When Miriam had tzaras, Aroin approached Moshe, omalei Moshe, achi my brother, klum osinu ro im echad ba'olam, omar loy laf. Have we ever caused anyone harm? Moshe, of course not. Amalai, umo im echad ba'olam lo yasinu ra, ata shachinu ata, he'och nas imcha ra, how do you ever think that we would want to cause you harm? Avul lo ese, shagogohi, beinoseinu. It was an accident. This that Miriam spoke, lashon hara, against her brother Moshe, how could he separate himself from his wife and cause his wife pain? We have violated the covenant between us. Shenemar, b'loizachru bris achim. So here, this Gemara, this is not a Gemara. It's Ovos to Rebbe Nosson, which is a very fascinating sefer in and of itself. Okay, it's a variation of Masechta Ovos. Oh, there's a lot of overlap, but it's much longer. It's very, very interesting. It's very interesting to compare. It would be a very nice thing to do, maybe, today do a shir, to learn Pirkei Avos and compare what it says in Pirkei Avos versus what it says in Avos D'Rabbeinu Nosson, and to see the differences. You'll go hand by hand, Mishnah by Mishnah, and see it's very, very fascinating. And here in this Avos D'Rabbeinu Nosson, it takes this very post that we have just learned, that it's said simply in reference to Tzor and Yisrael, and pulls it out and uses it as a code reference between the conversation of Moshe the Aaron. Moshe said to Aaron said to Moshe, "V'lozachru that we are guilty. V'lozachru bris achim b'bnei bris hakrusa b'neinu shebitalnu noivad es achaseinu, because we are in violation. Should our sister Miriam die, b'oisesha." Og Moshe Uga Kitana v'Amad B'Soicha. This is something which you don't hear often. We know that Moshe was misspelled Kel Na Refa Na La. The shortest davening. You think you've gone to a fast minion over here and somewhere in Flatbush? Moshe Rabbeinu beat you. Okay? Chazal say there are times when Moshe is Marich B'Tfila v'Eschanan El Hashem. He was misspelled for days. And also, he went to Shemayim. He was misspelled 40 days and 40 nights. A very long Shemona Esrei. And here the Shemona Esrei was so short, Kel Na Refa Na La, but he did draw a circle. The Amad B'Soicha, like Choni Hamagel.
Exactly.
Choni Hamagel, he drew a circle and he said to Hashem, I'm not leaving this circle until it rains. And it rained. And I forgot who it was. One of the Tanaim said to him, if not for the fact that you're a chosid, you're a pious person, we would put you in Shamta. We would curse you and put you in Cherim. No one would have anything to do with you because that's not the way you speak to Hashem. You don't make demands of Hashem. You don't hold Hashem hostage. No such thing as holding Hashem hostage. And Moshe Rabbeinu, where did Choni Hamagel get this from? Moshe. Moshe did exactly that. The Omar B'Soicha, Ubike Shrach Molecha, the Omar Eini Zon Nikan Zoz. Zoz Nikan, I'm not going to move from this location. Ad Sheterape Miriam Achlesi Maisis, Shenemar Kel No Refo No La. If a king would have been had insulted her, let's say an Adam Choshev would insult her, or if her father would insult her, so she would be embarrassed. It's human nature that if a person has been publicly humiliated by her father or by a distinguished person, they would be so embarrassed to walk into the street at least for 7 days. So therefore, ani sha'ani melech malchem lachem malachas kama v'kama. So therefore, Hashem is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Rebbeinu Shalom. So therefore, how much more so is she obligated? Should she be ashamed that if I insulted her, I publicly humiliated her by bringing upon her tzaras? So Moshe Rabbeinu, I grant your request. I will heal her, but she still has to sit out the humiliation for 14 days. Double, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech Malchei Amlochim relative to a human being, which she anyway would be embarrassed for 7 days. Ani shani Melech Malchei Amlochim alachas kama v'kama loydinhu shetikolim arba'o osa yoyim ela lemancha mecholo, for your sake I will forgive her. Shenema v'yom ha'shal Moshe avi avi yoreg yoreg v'nech lo shetikolim shavas yomim. And the pasuk goes on to say, indeed, how long was she quarantined? I forgot what it says. How long was she quarantined? 7 days. So it's in the fascinating thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed forgave her. It's amazing that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave her, what does that mean? Hashem forgave his additional maila. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech Malchei Hamlochim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not forgive a person to the degree that he's less than a father or a distinguished person. This is an amazing, amazing, heavy-duty yisoy that we just learned. Okay, this, because we, unfortunately, have been brought up in this way where Yom Kippur, Baruch Hashem, is a good thing, is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is forgiving. He's all forgiving. If a person does an avera, you just say, Slach lanu avinu ki chatan, with sincerity, comes Yom Kippur, Aser Simei Tshuva, all is forgiven. The answer is no. All is forgiven, but do not expect Hashem to forgive you more than a human being would forgive you. So we all know in our daily lives, if we have an altercation or some incident with another person, with a parent, with a Rebbe, with a Rav, or with our friends, and we do a sincere repentance, we ask forgiveness, we bring gifts, we go all out, you know, there's still collateral damage. There's still always collateral damage. You can be totally forgiven. It takes years. It can take months. There's an entire process that a person goes through to achieve, to bring it back. Chadesh yomeinu kikedem. So we think that by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's much easier. We can do the worst things, and then it comes Yom Kippur, klap al chet, all is forgiven, like it never ever happened. Because Hashem is so forgiving, He's more forgiving than a human being. If we did exactly the same avera to a human being, and we do tshuva, they forgive us. But you know we're on guard, correct? We're on guard. By Hashem, it's better. It's nasa zechuyo, the shkogos is gezchuyos. Look what it says here by Miriam. Miriam spoke Lashon Hara. She sinned against Hashem. Hashem said, you're not allowed to speak Lashon. She did an Avera. So Hashem brought upon her Tzaras. Moshe was Mispalo. He went through the process of Teshuvah. We could assume for sure Miriam did Teshuvah. That's a Dover Poshut. The Miriam didn't say explicitly. And Moshe intervened. Hashem said, I forgive you. But my forgiveness is going to be equal to the forgiveness of a human being. It's not going to be better than a human being. If a woman would be insulted by her father, which you're completing and saying, I'm sorry to him, you say to your father, I'm sorry, I did an avera, I rebelled against you. So there's a process. And the process means she still would be embarrassed to walk out of her house for 7 days. Not 1 day, not 5 minutes, 7 days. So now when you sklap al cheta kadosh baruch hu, okay, really, you did an avera to me, you should be executed. Or you should be locked up, quarantined forever. Or at least double, right? The Kal Vachomer is at least double, 14 days. Hashem says, all is forgiven. That means all is forgiven in Hashem's extra maila of being the Melech Malchei HaMelochim. But Hashem says, after everything is said and done, I'm at least on the same level as her father, or an Adam Choshev, which demands that the person still go through a normal process that would be done if you have done a chait against another human being. So we're going to reduce it from 14 down to 7. I'm not going to reduce it from 14 down to 0. It's very unfortunate that we think that when we do an Avera and we ask forgiveness, Hashem takes us from 14 down to 0 overnight. Hashem says here, I forgive you, but I'm still a person also. Kaviyachol. And therefore, if I was a person, so 7 days, you got to lock yourself up. Yeah.
Is it possible to adopt Hashem Mariki? Avi ve'imi azavuni v'Hashem yaspeini.
Okay.
So it would seem that Hashem goes further than parents.
I hear what you're saying, but you have to really understand what that pasuk means. I hear what you're saying. Okay. I don't know the answer.
You're saying what the Mepharshim say on the pasuk, Vayom Hashem Salachti Kidvarecha.
Yeah.
Means Kidvarecha. In other words, Moshe asked after Meraglim. You know, he said, you know, let them, whatever it is, there has to be Mechaper Klal Yisrael on some level. So he said, I will forgive them Kidvarecha. The way you asked. You could have asked for more, you didn't. Vayom Hashem Salachti Kidvarecha. You asked for a certain amount of forgiveness. That's all I'm going to give. Sort of like what human beings might expect. I have the ability to do more, but I'm only doing what you asked me for.
Okay, interesting. There's another principle Chazal write, Tefillah Oise Mechza. What does that mean? Person can daven the whole day, the best, you have an impossible situation in front of you, and you mispal, you give it all you got. Chazal say, I don't know what this, we don't know what this means, but Tefillah does at most half. That's it, half. Now what is that? The example given is Nadav Aviu. Aaron, because of the Chet Egel, it was meant, the real decree was that all four of his sons should die. Nadav Aviu, Elazar v'Isamar. And the pasuk says, V'gam ba'ad Aharon hispalel hasanaf Hashem v'espalel olav bo'esahi. At the Chumash, whatever, in Parash Ekev, I'm not sure which Parash, in the Chumash Devarim, Moshe recalls that at the time of the Chet Egel, Hashem was angry at Aaron. Why did you allow the Chet Egel to happen? Hashem was angry, and Hashem said, Moshe says, I was mispalel for Aaron at that time, and Hashem listened to me. And Chazal explained, what was he mispalel? Moshe saw that as a punishment for Aaron being responsible for the Chet Egel, all four of his sons should have died. Moshe was mispalel, the ultimate tefillah, tefillah oise mechza. And what did his tefillah accomplish? That at least Elazar the Isamar did not die. But he could not save Nadav Vavil. You can come to the front. A special hot seat here ready for you. Elazar the Isamar and Nadav Vavil could not be saved. Now that borders upon this pasuk that this chazal that we have just learned. Hashem said to Moshe, Miriam has sinned. Miriam has sinned. She deserves double of what, at least double of what is normally the minhag of 7 days. So she deserves at least 14 days. I will forgive her, but I'm only going to forgive half. I'm only going to forgive the element of this that I am unique, that I am above and beyond humanity, the Melech Malchei Hamlachim. But I'm not going to forgive to lower myself lower than a human being. A human being under all circumstances will have to sit in judgment. You always hear stories, Rahman was talking about people who get into trouble with the law. And they end up in the court, and then Rahman al-Islam, the judge says, you know, you've done a crime, you're going to go to jail. And the people, they flood the judge with letters, and the best lawyers telling the judge, the guy is a tzaddik, it was just a shkoga, it was just an accident, it was the maisis satan, have rachmanis, he has 10 children, he's a good person, he really is a good person. And the judge, if you hear this, judge says, you know something, I'm very moved, I'm overwhelmed by all of the friends, and seeing indeed the good that this person has done for the community, but he did a crime. And my hands are tied. The law is the law. But what I can do, I'll do. I have control over the sentence. I can give you a sentence like this and a sentence like this. So I'll give you a sentence like this. I don't have any control. The law is the law. Hashem says, the law is the law. You've done an Avera. I can be moichel on this that I am the Ribbono Shel Olam. But I cannot be moichel on this that I am at least equal in my creation of this world and my hanhaga of this world of being at least like a human being. And therefore there's a certain pattern, a certain things that have to happen whether you like it or not.
Where do we find the Russian Moshe Rabbeinu when he asked that she should be forgiven?
Kel no rifa no la. Heal her. That's obvious. Moshe, we said this was a very short tefillah. If Moshe was given the time to go daven 40 days and 40 nights, he would have elaborated that in order to have for healing, in order that a person can be healed, you have to ask mechila, you have to go through slicha. This is the short version. The short version condenses all of the things, the prerequisites. It's pashut. That's what's assumed. Okay, we can't. Okay, this is a short tefillah. This was a very short time, was of the essence. Moshe was not able to elaborate. Perish Rashi, Refon Allah means obviously, in order to be healed, obviously there has to be a process of teshuvah. Obviously, that's the whole purpose of it being very short. Okay, so this is the Chazal. The only thing that's unique about this is that you find this that Moshe Aaron, he extracted, Aaron must have just learned Sefer Amos. He must have just learned, and he came across this very nice pasuk of Lozachu Bris Achim, and he extracted the pasuk from Sefer Amos. I'm just using words over here as his part of his bakasha to Moshe. Moshe, there is a covenant with brothers. Maybe there's something very deep over here. Is that brothers by definition have to look out for one another?
We always talk about the punishment for Miriam and what Miriam did, and remember what Miriam did. Here, we see Aharon implicated as well. So I have to assume that he's implicated because he listened, not because he necessarily said anything.
Okay, very good. You're saying very good.
He didn't stop her also. I mean, that's the problem. He let her talk.
He was all right. That's always the problem. The problem is not to protest. Is the silent, like the silent majority. If you
Farshim say that the only reason Aaron deserved to get Saras too, mm-hmm. the only reason he didn't get Saras because you need the Kohen Gadol to say she is v'hinei mitzaras.
You still need someone
v'hinei mitzaras.
On duty.
Targum says chibur katalko. He didn't say. In other words, he didn't say she has Saras. He had to inspect it and then.
Right.
He saw the whole white spots. That's the Targum Onkelos. That's the white spots, and now he pronounced it Tsaras. So he had to leave him to make the pronouncement, so he couldn't get Tsaras himself.
Why couldn't the Rosh Hashanah have done it?
What? Because they weren't appointed yet.
Right.
They weren't appointed.
They weren't Kohen. Officially, it wasn't until after Pinchas, and at that point, in other words, until you see Chukas. That's where the Mepharshim get into the problem of Chukah, why he mentions Elazar and not Aaron. Because the Torah Duma, while they would have it there, the only person who would get to use it would be already Elazar. That's before Aaron died. How come it doesn't say Aaron then?
Okay, let's now go on to the fourth nation. We're up to Pasuk Yud Aleph. We've already discussed Aram. Okay, we discussed Aram on the west. We've discussed Aza in the south, and we've discussed Tsar on the north. Now we're going to go to, we have not yet got to Arav. Arav is on the east. That we have not yet mentioned. Whatever that means, who they are, what we are on the east. Across the Mediterranean? Or it means along the boundary? Along, whatever it is.
East is on the other side of Yarmouth.
Oh, that's the question. No.
East of Eretz Israel is Eber Yarmouth.
No, but they were already living in Eretz Yard. During the time of the Bais Rishon, they fully occupied the whole Eretz Yisrael.
So
where is it? All right, whatever. We'll get to later on. That, we have not yet come to what it means the East. We do know that there is a nation on the East. It's been mentioned many times here, called Arav, on the East of Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? We're not yet there. So far we've discussed three nations on the three borders. In the north, we have Tsar. That's what we have just learned about. In the west, we have Aram, Damesek. In the south, we have Aza. So far, Amos has given Musar to three of the neighboring nations to Eretz Yisrael in their for their averos. And we've learned many perushim. What exactly are their averos? It seems a very common theme that brings all of them together is at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, or looking forward to Churban Bayis Sheni, when Klal Yisrael were seeking refuge from the enemy, whether it was Nebuchadnezzar in the Bayis Rishon or Rome, Titus, Nebuzaradan in the Bayis Sheni, they sought refuge in the neighboring countries, in the neighboring nations. And these nations refused them to allow entry. They refused them to enter to for safe haven. And in fact, at different degrees, they actually captured them and handed them over to their enemies. Now we go to the next nation. Now, this nation is not just a nation that's guilty for not giving a safe haven. This is the aggressor. This is the actual one who instigated war. And we have to see which war we're discussing. I will forgive Edom for three sins. But the fourth of I will not withdraw my anger. I will allow my anger to flare up and bring korban. And what is the sin that I'm referring to? This, that they chased after their brother with a sword. And they destroyed. Now that's a very, very powerful expression. What this means, v'shicheis shachamav. We'll see different interpretations. But one interpretation means is that they did things to remove the natural compassion a person has for their fellow man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man ki b'tzelem Elohim bara es ha'adam. Man is created in the image of Hashem. Hashem is kel rachum v'chanon. Hashem's essence is mercy, compassion. That means every human being, it is built into his DNA to show compassion. It's not something which you have to teach, to explain, to show. It's part of your makeup of a human being to be rachum v'chanun erech apayim rav chesed emes noitzecheser lalof nosi avlofesh, to be forgiving. Why? Because the man is created in the Tselem Elohim. Yeah. Yes. The Shicheis Rachamav is to work, to harva, to work on yourself, that you should not have Rachmanis.
But they did it to the people.
Oh, no, they did it to themselves.
But to the people also. Not,
what do you mean to the people also?
Like the Nazis did to the Jews.
No, that's another interpretation. That's another. Let's focus on only one thing at a time. Just like Lahavdul Elif Alfi Avdolis, you have a Rishol Salanta, and he creates for you a Musar Shtibel. That what it's called? A Musar Shtibel? Where you sit the whole day, and you engage in OCD, and you shackle, and you have Kavana, you have to be humble, you have to have Rachmanis, and you repeat Maimori Chazal over and over again to get it into you. These wicked people, they did just the opposite. They sat in isolation with Kavana the whole day. Have no Rachmanis, be cruel. They would take animals and they would torture and destroy them, and do things, they would do experiments among animals in order to train themselves to have no Rachmanis. So when they go out on the battlefield and they encounter their enemies, they are trained to be cruel and not allow a natural human compassion to overtake them. V'shicheis rachamav. They establish schools amongst themselves to train themselves to remove the midah of rachmanis that is natural to them, that Hashem has instilled within them, in order to succeed in accomplishing their goal. Rachmanis was an impediment. It was an impediment for them in their quest of the harm they wanted to instill upon others. V'shicheis rachamav. Vayitroif lo ad apo, and it ripped apart forever apo. Now there are different translations, which means the anger of who? Their anger. The people. Either this goes on Hashem or goes on the. Let's assume for the moment now that it's going on the people themselves. They let their anger rage forever. V'evrosoi shomro netzach, their wrath was guarded within them netzach forever. Like you see, madmen, Hitler yimach shmo v'zichro, a meshugana, a madman. This was, they brought this upon themselves. They allowed this to mushroom, to develop, even though it's not natural. Let's see the Mepharshim, let's see the Metzudos David. It's a hard pasuk. Pasuk Yud Aleph in Metzudos David. Pasuk Yud Aleph on page 273. On the bottom. Ad rodfei b'chev achiv, ki aloi och Esav liyakov. That everyone agrees over here that Esav liyakov are brothers. Umaduim kein ridofei b'cherev b'zman achum b'yasheni. The Metzudos is telling us that this pasuk refers to b'yasheni. Here, Amos is giving a prophecy what's going to happen approximately 600 years. He's speaking approximately 150 years before the Churban, 70 years before the Bayis Rish, the Bayis Sheni, 420 years. It up, it's going to be whatever, approximately 600 plus years in the future of what is going to happen. And he's telling us that Edom, our brother, is going to bring the Churban, the Shichei Srachamov, Bitel Horachamonus, it's natural. I told you a little bit more. Hashem put into man the midah of rachamim, the normal midah that man has compassion upon his brother. They destroyed vayitroif lo'ad apo. Apoi shel Edom, the anger of Edom, toraf es Yisrael, ripped apart the Jewish people. B'chol es shehoya hayocheles biyodai. So he's translating the word lo'ad, means that every opportunity. No one lives forever. So what does the word lo'ad in this pasuk mean? This is a very, very deep interpretation. It means every opportunity. Your time may be limited, but it can be called forever if every opportunity you have, you take advantage of.
Could be the kids do it also.
Well, the generations. Edom is still very much alive today.
No, what I'm saying is that rage is something that usually lasts for a brief period of time. In order for this level of anger and rage to continue, it has to be stoked. It has to be sustained somehow. Examples in Tanakh also, but today you see it. You can be, you can feel rage if you're on, you're angry about some particular issue. But how does it? But it needs to be fed constantly in order to be maintained.
The Evrosoi Evro Sheyeshloi Albinei Shol Shemu Etzlei Li'Olam Belo Yazven B'Shum Pam. That's what they did to themselves. These wicked people, the nation of Edom, they have instilled in their character, in their nature. They've done it to themselves that they are angry people, and every opportunity their children, their grandchildren have, they will let it out upon Klal Yisrael. Let us see Rashi. Rashi pasuk Yud Aleph al Rudafay b'Becherev Achiv Shnemar Pen Bacherev Eitzei Likrosecha. It goes back to the olden days. This midah of the will to have no rachmanis upon your own brother goes out by Edom when Klal Yisrael wanted to pass through the land of Edom on their way to Eretz Yisrael. We asked permission and we said, "We'll be good to you. We'll purchase. We have money. We'll buy from you our needs. We just want to travel through your land, rite of passage. We will not cause you any harm." And Edom responded, "Don't you dare come near us. If you come near us, we will go out and we'll kill you." Pen b'cherev eitzei elecha. That's how you talk to your brother. Edom and Yaakov are brothers. There is no nation in the world that we are closer to than Edom. We come from the same grandfather and father. Yitzchak and Avraham, the same grandmother and great-grandmother, Sarah and Rivka, we're mamish brothers. If we're mamish brothers, there should be a natural desire to be good to one another. And yet look how much Churban Edom has done to Klal Yisrael, and the pasuk here reveals a secret, that they did it to themselves. Edom made a decision, v'shicheis rachamav. They worked on themselves. They had their version, Lahavil Elif Alfi Abdullah, Rabbi Shol Salanter. Just like you could have a Musar Yeshiva, to work to perfect your midos. You could have a makom where you can work to train to uproot the natural good midos you have to be cruel, to dehumanize yourself.
What? You could be a religion that emphasizes trains its followers to hate and be cruel.
And that's exactly what they did. Further, they're still doing this. Nothing has changed. They did not let go. We have many emphasizing the same idea. Let's see the Radak. Pasuk Yud Aleph in the Radak. Page 273. Al Radafay Bacherev Yesh Mefarshim Al Esa V'Yakov. That's what we learned until now. Shabarach Yaakov Mipanav V'Yesh Mefarshim Kishavu Yishol Al Edom Bamidbar. Well, it's really the same thing. Where are we going back? We're going back to Yaakov and Esav. When Yaakov fled after Yaakov got the Berachos, Rivka told Yaakov, "You better run away. Your brother Esav, he wants to kill you." And someone learned, like we just learned in the Mitzudas, that Rashi, they're referring to the time of going in the desert, when Klal Yisrael was traveling to Eretz Yisrael, and they passed the land of Edom. V'yeshefarshim kishavu Yisrael al Edom b'midbar v'omar v'yetze Edom likrasay bi'am kovei v'anachon hu shehu al churbay sheni. Okay, but this is really referring to the future prophecy, the bayis sheni k'moshe pirashnu shtei ha-parashios asher lefnei zois. So he seems he's coming to summarize everything that we've learned. We have the Mitzudos, we have Rashi, and we have the future. Is this referring back to the past or the future? According to some of the Mefarshim, this really is a punishment for what they've done in the past. The fact that Esav Harosha Mamish, the real Esav, he chased after Yaakov, now he's going to finally, his descendants are going to be punished. And some learn that it's referring to the past event of the nation of Edom when they did not allow Klal Yisrael to enter and to buy food when they were going to Eretz Yisrael. And the third interpretation is that this event has not yet happened when Amos was speaking. It will happen at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, and they will ultimately be punished. Three different times of Averos that we are identifying of the cruelty of Edom, and not to mention modern times of the Holocaust, of the Crusades, of Tach V'Tat, and all the other pogroms, Inquisition, and all the other horrors of Jewish history that have transpired in the last 2,000 years, all leaded more or less by Edom. So we're not even discussing that. Okay, discussing what Esav did to Yaakov and in the Midbar and by Churban Bayis Sheni, but they have added quite a long list of sins to their roster. Okay, next. Vayitroif, the next Vashiches Rachamov, back in the Radak. Rachamei ho'och alochim shuderech olam v'hu shiches harachamim u'bitlam. He has, Esav has destroyed this good midah. Vayitroif lo'ad apo, ho'af shohoye es leis val Yaakov, lo'ad hoya, it's forever. Ki'af al ki'ad haderes ho'acharayim hoya, it lasts until the end of days. V'toraf Yisrael b'chol zman shohoye ha'koyach b'yodoy. Whenever they had an opportunity, they took revenge. This is a very frightening pasuk. Halacha v'yodenu Esav soinei liyakov. Rashi, never forget that Rashi. Halacha, and even though Baruch Hashem, chaste Hashem, today things are more or less quiet, watch out. Rashi there says, why did Yaakov kiss him? Why did Esav kiss Yaakov? Yatsliyat kasha. How could it be that when Yaakov, he met Esav, Esav kissed him? It says, Vayishakehu, he kissed him. Ela be'oysa shah, nichniru rachamav. His rachmanos, the natural rachmanos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts in a human being, prevailed. It was churned, it turned over, it came to the surface, and he kissed his brother. The Rashi says, watch out, it was be'oysa shah. It was just for a moment. But general, the default is halacha biyodeinu Esav soine Yaakov. And that's the very harsh musa we are blessed with an infinite bracha HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we live now in times where more or less it's quiet, it's peaceful. But we have to be on guard because we're living now be'oysa shah. Nichmeru rachamav. They're not killing us. But that's not natural for them. It's only b'oysa shah. Esav is halacha b'yodeinu. They're people who are shicheis rachamav. Vayitroif lo'ad apo. V'evaso shemora netzach. Don't think that the oyser shah lasts forever. It's only by oyser shah. So, I think we're living in the modern world. It can never happen again. You know, it's people say, oh, it'll never, a civilized world, it can never happen. We have an Eretz Yisrael, we have safe haven, we have this, we have that, we have power, we have wealth. They said the same thing in Germany also, okay? And it didn't work for them. So we are blessed beyond belief, Baruch Hashem and Halavai Vaita, forever and ever. But we have to be mispalo to Hashem because it's Hashem's world, and who knows? What? Medina Shel Malchus. Yeah, but the Medina Shel Malchus, halavai vayta. We have to hope the Medina Shel Malchus. You know, in the world history, it's only 200 years. This country only 200 years old. 200 years is not even a footnote in world history. Okay, there've been many countries and civilizations that have come and gone like that. So we're here. America's changed. I mean, America today is not the America of 100 years ago. It's a different world, different country, a different world. We have to hope and pray that everything, you know, remains stable. But this pasuk is a very frightening pasuk, telling us exactly the real true nature of Esav, and to watch out. Men always remember the Evrosoi Shemora Netzach. It's there. The hatred a goy has for a Jew is there. He may be busy. He may be occupied with making money, with sports, with entertainment, with who knows what, his own problems. And he may be nice to others. They may be nice. We have to be very, very careful. It's not so simple. Not to get too buddy-buddy with them. Okay, let's now go to, like, you know, I'm not just giving, yesterday, you know, Bar Park, I don't know the details, but, you know what happened in Bar Park? Whatever it happened, there was a Hachnosa Sefer. They have a dime a dozen every day. There's Hachnosa Sefer Torah. I don't know the details. I really don't know anything, but that's not my point. The details is that the reaction of the Shomrim and of all the politicians was, everyone calm down, take a deep breath. The relationship that we have with the NYPD has never been better. We're buddy-buddy. We're mamash chaverim. We are such good terms. We're so well coordinated with them. It's never been better, the relationship between the Orthodox community and the police department. So I'm not going into the details of what happened. But this incident... Don't get worked up about it. Okay, I agree. But yet, look how overnight there can be such a... Overnight, everything can change in a second. In a second. It's so frightening. Everything is so good and fine and well, and in one second there can be such a sichsuch. Things can get so out of hand. You got to be careful. V'evrasoi shemora netzach. Don't ever get too comfortable with the guy. Halacha, my mother used to tell me that she used to use the student by Ephraim Oretz. Everyone here knows him. Everyone knows Ephraim. What? He was a very famous mechanic. He taught a lot of girls' schools. You never hear of him? Never heard of him? He died a couple of years ago. What? He taught all over. There wasn't a girl school even teaching. Ephraim Oretz, who was very, very big mechanic, very popular person, and he's an old timer. And my mother always used to say that one thing that he always used to hammer away was that Rashi, Halacha biyodeinu Esav soine liyakov. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget this principle.
What can you do about it?
Nothing. You can do nothing about it. Nothing. Be mispalel. Be mispalel. And this pasuk is a very... all the pasuk that we learned about Edom, I think this pasuk really, it says it all. It says all of the ideas. It says the frightening concept, the shicheis rachamav. A human being has a natural element, natural netiyah, inclination to have rachamim, especially upon your relatives. What did he do? He manipulated his DNA. He went into the laboratory, you know, they can manipulate the DNA, tell you want a boy or a girl, blue eyes or brown eyes. What do you want, how tall do you want? They can mamash do these things today. It's frightening what they can do today. So there's a DNA, part of the DNA is how much rachmanis do you want? And they take it out. No Rachmanis. Take out the Rachmanis din, the gene. No Rachmanis. That's what it says. V'shiches rachamav. They have done unusual things to destroy the will to show compassion to their brother. V'yitroif. They're guilty. How do you know they've done it? They've ripped apart lo'ad at every opportunity they had. Apo. And no, you know what? There's more to come. That's what it says. I'm not making this up. The Evrosoi Shemora is guarded Netzach. That's what Omois tells us about Edom. So when you see in the news that the Goy says about the Jews, they're unbelievable. There's nothing like a Jew, and they're praising the Jews. Okay. Be'oisoshah nichmiru rachamov. Watch out. He breaks up. Yaakov broke up the machne l'sholosh l'shnei machnois.
Because otherwise we couldn't survive.
Im Yovei Esav will come here, so there'll be survivors over here. There'll be survivors. Neitzach Yisrael lo yishaker. But it's painful. It's definitely painful. Let's take a look at the Malbim. The Malbim pasuk Yud Aleph. Oh, so right away we have a deviation. We have a fourth pshat. Not Yaakov and Esav. Not when Klal Yisrael was traveling in the desert. Not the Bayis Sheni. The Malbim here says there's another period of time, history, another event when Esav was cruel to Yaakov. And that is Vayitroif lo arapoy al yidei haroimim shechrivu yushalayim sheharoimim nechshavu livnei edoim. Now lefima sheber moreinu rav Yitzchak Abarbanel biroyos. Rome is Edom. We all take that for granted. And who taught us that? The Abarbanel. V'chein ha'av shehoyu lochem. Now over here, the problem over here is. Okay, so it seems like I went too fast, is that he's coming to describe multiple events. The first event was the Ace Chorban Bayis Rishna. We have on that on record? Do we have that on record? Not really. Maybe you'll find it somewhere in the Midrashim, I'm not aware. The Bayis Rishna was destroyed by the Babylonians. The Kastim and the Babylonians are really two nations. The Kastim and Bavel. They really were different. The Kastim were barbarians. Bavel were more dignified people. They let the Kastim, who were total barbarians, pagans, do the dirty work. They were primitive people. But you don't really get the sense that Edom was involved. Edom, we learn that Amon and Moav were hired mercenaries that came in to do some dirty work. Amon and Moav, that we know about. I don't recall, I don't know anything, but I don't recall standing out, you know, as a big medrash, is where Rome, the Romans, Rome, did they even exist at that point in time? I must have been Edom, whatever it was. No, not the Romans. So there must have been ancient Edom.
Not,
but it seems that he's telling us the Malbim, there's a Messiah, that at the time of the Churban, Bayis Rishon, they were mercenaries. Hired mercenaries to assist in the dirty work of Nebuchadnezzar. And that included the nation, the ancient nation of Edom, which we really don't know much about. There must have been some ancient nation called Edom, and they were wicked. They were wicked in their participation of helping Nebuchadnezzar destroy the Bayis Rishon. And it goes without saying, the Bayis Sheni, which is the next part of the pasuk he learns, when it says, Vayitroif lo'ad apoy, Al yidei haramim shechliv yisrael v'sharim nechshu leivei edem v'lifi mashaber amarino rav yitzchak barbanel b'royes v'chein af shahoy yilchem ha'yishol b'chol zman ha'golos. So what he's saying over here is, this is amazing, the Malma is saying is, v'evrosoy shomra netzach is a nevuah for the Holocaust. A nevuah for Inquisition. The nevuah for the Chmelnytsky massacres. Because the Malm is doing something very different than Rashi, the Mitzudos, and the Radak. Rashi, the Mitzudos, and the Radak are telling us these three expressions of the Shiches Rachamav, the Yitrif Ad Apa, the Evros Shomer Netzach, is one Tekufa. It's all discussing the same thing. Pick your choice. You can use it in describing the event of Yaakov and Esav at the time of the brachos. You can use it to refer to the time when they travel in the desert. Or you can use it to refer to the to prophecy for the Churban Bayis Sheni. The Malbim is very creative. And the Malbim says, why do you have to say it's referring to one event? Break it up over the whole timeline of history. When it says, V'shiches al Rudafa v'cherf Achiv, Rudafa, he chased after the Sur Achiv, that refers to the time of the Bayis Rishon. When it says, V'shiches rachama v'yitref l'arapo, that was the Churban Bayis Sheni. And then Amos had prophecy. He saw the Holocaust. He saw Inquisition. He saw all the horrors of Golos. And he said, Rachmana Litzlan, after the Churban Bayis Sheni, I see what Eden will do. V'evrosoi shemora netzach. This is a prophecy for our times. This is the pshat of the Malbim. Very, very powerful.
And that also brings down the track record of trying to kill the Jews when they were in Mitzrayim.
Even in Egypt.
Even in Egypt.
Edom.
Yeah, they have the Medrash in the Sefer HaYosher. It mentions that they came and the only reason that they weren't successful was in Mitzrayim. They wanted to keep the Jews there. So when they were chasing them, they were in Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim came to their rescue to save the Jews at that time. It's a whole story.
Medrash, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow,
it's
never heard this.
The whole story in the same Rabbi Yosha gives a blow by blow that they hunted really? Down Jews.
Edom.
They came after them to Mitzrayim, but Mitzrayim
defended them.
Yeah.
And then the Mitzrayim tried to destroy them.
But they had a track record. You know, Barbadel brings it down that in Mitzrayim.
Very, very fascinating. So let's try to finish up over here. This is a typical Malbim. Malbim is always into the vocabulary words, the synonyms. What's the difference between the word af and evra? She'evra hu sha'ali de apa over ha'gvul asos ra el ha'klol gam el eilesh shaloi chatu. Evra means you punish the tzaddikim with the rishoyim. Af, very fascinating translation. You have to go learn the chumash all over again with this translation. Af means you punish those who are guilty. You have a class of students and there's one troublemaker. So the troublemaker, you punish him. You stand in the corner. You punish the troublemaker. Ever means when the crime is so great, even though there was only one student who did the crime, since everyone allowed it to happen, the whole class is suspended.
Guilt by association. No, it's collective punishment.
Collective punishment, guilt by association. This all the ever is where the crime is, so everyone's going to, even the tzaddikim together with the rishon. That's called evra. In contrast to af, is where selective who gets punished. Okay, that's the Malbim. Now let's just finish up over here. The Mamre Chazal will finish up. The Mamre Chazal over here, we have over here on the Chumash Hanoch, it's nice Chumash Hanoch, we have to also. But let's just see the Mamre Chazal first. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Al Shloisha, back on page 272. Al Shloisha Pishay Adam, Im Yesh Lo Soita Zuchus. Okay, we're going on a tangent. Soita Zuchus, Chaysa Toilu Lo, Lit Chaysa Oinsha. Yesh Zuchus Toilu Shon Achas, Yesh Zuchus Toilu Shtay Shonim, Yesh Zuchus Toilu Shalosh Shonim. Let us say a soita is guilty as sin. A man accuses his wife of having a relationship with another man, an eshes ish, and that's right, she's guilty. She had yichud, the whole process. She had first yichud, and then he warned her, and then he warned her, then she had yichud, and she did an avera with this person. And the husband takes her to the Beis HaMikdash, and they give her the meham ma'aretim to drink, and they go through the entire process. And they walk out of the Beis HaMikdash, and she is the picture of health. Go to the doctor's office, blood pressure, the numbers are out of this world. Everything is perfect, perfect, perfect.
She's
guilty as sin. She mamish did the Avera for real. And they gave her the Meham Me'orim, the bitter waters. And the Torah says she's going to die. Her stomach is going to collapse. And she's going to turn green and disgusting, and she's going to die a miso mishuna. That's what it says in the Torah. And the Ramban says this is one of the only places in the entire Torah where the Torah guarantees a miracle. Torah says you do this, a miracle is going to happen, she's going to die a miso mishuna, and if she's innocent, She'll have children. Also a miracle. The Torah says, and guess what? Nothing happens. Nothing happens. They leave the Beis HaMikdash. Fine. Oh, that's what it says. How do we understand this? How could it be? The Torah says. So this Mishnah is the Machlokes from Gemara. This Tana says, you know why it didn't happen yet? She has a Sechus. She's a good person. She gave tzedakah. She did chesed. Even though there are times in this world when a person is slated for Chorban, a Zechus can be Megan, can forestall the punishment. At how far? Even 3 years. There's a Sechus that will that its merit is sufficient for 1 year. There's a Sechus for 2 years, a Sechus for 3 years. Hey, by Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel was actually punished for this. Nebuchadnezzar realized that he's going to be destroyed for what he did to Klal Yisrael, and he asked Daniel, what should I do to prevent my destruction? Daniel said, become a Democrat. Put the country on welfare. Change your party affiliation. Vote for Trump. You will be... Okay, whatever, you don't do it. Do chesed. Feed the poor and you'll have zechusim. And he did it. And indeed it forestalled his korban for a year. And Hashem said, you know, Daniel, it's taka true, but you should not have told this to him. He's such a wicked person. We would rather have him be defeated than give him a merit. But anything you learn over here is across the board, if a person has a zechus, it's megan. Now, money must be suddenly oil and bishmol, oimer shah zechus, toila. Even how long? Lishneim osra chodesh. The ashkach kra, and that's also one of the reasons why you say kaddish. How long is Gehenim? Gehenim is 12 months. So if the children are on their best behavior during that first year, the zechus that the nifter has, that he has such good children that are good people in this world, they do chesed, they do chesed in all different areas, they say kaddish, just the tip of the iceberg. Sometimes the schus is not taking the omelet, right? The biggest schus is let him have the omelet. Such a good person, he lets someone else take the omelet. So they say to the nifter, nu, in Gehenim, you have a schus, you don't have to go to Gehenim today. And once already 12 months passes, nu, all right, you're already exempt. You're ready, 12 months is over. The same idea, just like there's a parallel between this world and the next world. Just like in this world we find that a zechus can be toila for 12 months, a zechus can be toila in the next world for 12 months. And once that time passes, that's it, you're out. You're out, it expired, the neshama does not have to suffer the pain, the suffering of Gehenna.
That's why we say kash for 11 months.
Because you don't want to say kash for 11, because you don't want to show the person needs my zechus. Obviously, it really goes to show that saying the kaddish really is nothing. Saying the Kaddish is not what's going to save the neshama. It's the Maisim Tovim. The Maisim Tovim and the Kaddish is just a way to make the person wake up and realize that he should be on his best behavior during this year to be a zechus for the neshama. Okay, now let's go further. Over here, Mani Masis Ashach Kro the Amar Hachatani that says, Siv, what's the... Shizchus Tov L'Shem V'Sachadish Ashach Kro the Amar V'Tani. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Marach Zman at Shalosh Pam V'Sivkay Hashem Al Shloisha Pishei Eden. So we're using this pasuk to teach us this principle of a soita, which we apply to our own lives. The Gemara there says a soita is guilty as sin. She has zchus 1 year, another zchus a second year, a third zchus a third year. 36 months. Each zchus can be toile for 12 months. For a grand total of 3 years. How do you see this? Well, not just by this nation. We're going through over here multiple nations, but we're focusing specifically now on Edom, al shloisha pishei Edom, the al arba'a loy ashivenu. Hashem will give you a pass 3 times. Soita, you're guilty, you're going to die. Hashem guarantees you will die misa mishunet, not right away. You have a schus, 1 year, you have a stay. Another schus, another year. Another schus, another year. Al shloisha, pishei edon, ashivenu. I will withdraw, I will take back my anger. But there comes a time of reckoning when the schus runs out. I'm out of time. I want to do tomorrow. We'll do the achemas anach before we go on to the, before we go weiter into the next nation. The next nation is we have to do Taman. Taman is going to be part of Edom.